And I'll be speaking today from Galatians chapter 5, and just one verse, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And our subject is taken from the verse, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Now, to walk in the Spirit, we must keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is divine. The Holy Spirit is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are one. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's equal with God. He has a mind. He can be grieved. And we are exhorted in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 30. And the scripture says to us that we should not grieve. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice it says, the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So he's a person, and I won't spend much time on this. He's the third person of the Trinity. He maketh intercession. He searches all things. He teaches all things. The Holy Spirit, he guides us into all truth. He leads us into all truth. He is the helper that is sent by the Father to teach us all things. So all of these verses begin with he is. He is. He is a person. And obviously, he's the Holy Spirit. He's very holy. So as a Christian, he's our helper. He's the one that the Father has sent to help us and to teach us and to show us the way. And as a Christian, we love Scripture. If you are a Christian, you should love Scripture. And I know that we do. Those that are born again do love Scripture. But we must think of it this way. Scripture was written for our learning. You cannot divide the Scripture and say, okay, these verses were written by man, they're not inspired, and these verses are inspired. All Scripture is inspired by the Lord. And the words of Scripture did not arise from human will, but from the Spirit's sovereign work. And we see this in a Bible verse. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the ones that penned Scripture were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. So what an honor then is due to the third person of the Trinity, the triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Without a question, these three are one. And our response must be a response with gratitude for his ministry toward us, must be a response of obedience towards us, must be wholehearted submission. And we are to walk carefully. We are to walk, as the verse said in Ephesians, lest we grieve the Holy Spirit by whom these words were given. So actually, all the words of Scripture we need to heed and yield to and obey, and we will not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, with that very quick introduction, let us begin with the verse, if we live in the Spirit. And this is our opening verse. It's not really a question, if you are a Christian. It's not really a question, meaning if you are saved. Rather, it has the meaning, since you are saved, since you live by the Spirit, or if you claim to be saved, if you say that you are in union with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord and the King of Kings, that He's living in us, then, says the Apostle, then walk in Him. Then walk in Him and give the Holy Spirit His rightful place and make Him the very source of all your life. Give Him number one place in your life. Purpose to live by His power and not by the strength which we have, the strength which comes from ourselves. Yield to the Spirit. Let Him sustain us, direct us, and empower us. That's what the Apostle's saying. That's what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit. Let Him direct our lives. And then it has this further meaning, let us march in line. Modern translations say it, let us keep step. But I used to be in the military, and it's quite easy to keep step. You can even do it subconsciously. You just keep going. But to walk in line, you have to be aware of the people around you. You have to dress to the person to your right. And you have to not only keep in line, you keep in step. So keeping in line involves how we walk with regard to others as well. And we'll see more of that later. In other words, the Apostle is saying, keep in line and let the Spirit govern every one of your actions. We can say it in a very practical way. Some of us have got cars. If you have got a car, then by car you will go. You won't go by horse, you won't walk, you won't take a picky. If you've got a car, you will go by car. And if you have the Spirit, by the Spirit let us go. Let us not go by the flesh. So it's very clear, very understandable. No one can misunderstand that. If we say we have the Holy Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. Yet, sadly, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are multitudes of people that claim to have the Spirit. They claim that they are the Lord's. They claim that they are saved, I'm born again. And they say, I've trusted Christ and I have new life in Him. But their walk is just the same as the world. Their walk is just the same. You can't tell any difference. You can't say, yes, they are a true Christian. You look at them and you scratch your head and you say, well, they're just exactly the same as all the people in the world. You can't really tell a difference. They still lie to cover their mistakes. Oh, they lie so easily. They lie with such a straight face. And they will hold back some truth when they're making a business deal. They won't put all the truth on the table. They are people who think mostly of themselves and not others. They are selfish people. They don't have the selfless spirit of Christ Jesus. And yet, they say that they are born again. We mentioned this, I think, in the prayer, that they let much corrupt communication proceed from their mouths. Rather than building people up, they destroy them and they pull them down. And these things are not walking in the Spirit. These things grieve the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And then in the very next verse of Ephesians 4:30, the 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So it's obvious. These are the things that grieve the Spirit. And these are the things that the one who's walking in the Spirit puts away from them. And they don't put them away in their own strength. They put them away in the strength of the Spirit. So right here we have described the great problem in the church world today, that people say that they are Christians, and yes, they even know the doctrines, even doctrines of grace, and they say that they love them, and they can even explain the doctrines very well to others, and they say, oh, you know, I love the teaching of the Puritans. I love the teaching of the Reformers. Oh, but I'm not sure about their lifestyle. Don't ask me to live like they lived. But I love their teaching, but not the lifestyle. Not for me, thank you. They were too holy, but not for me. Well, something's wrong when we speak much of the justification of the Spirit, but we are not walking forward. We're not growing in sanctification. We are not becoming more and more like the Lord. I was just thinking when our children were young, we had to take them to the clinic to get weighed. They wanted to see if they were growing, if they were adding weight. And then as the children got bigger in the house, on the door, we made a pencil mark, and we wrote the date. And then after about 6 months or a year, we remembered. We did it again. We made a new line on the door. And you know what? We could see our children were growing and growing and growing. And do you know that if, after 5 years, if our child hadn't grown even 1 inch, I tell you, we'd be worried. We'd be very worried. Well, as a Christian, are you growing? Are you growing in the Lord? If you look back 1 year, can you say, in this past year, I've grown? In the past month, I've grown? Can you say, every day, I long to fellowship with the Lord? Every day, I long to open my Bible and read the Word? And that's walking in the Spirit. That's somebody who's walking in the Spirit. They desire spiritual truth. They desire to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But when there is somebody that they do not pray, they do not fellowship meaningfully with the Lord every day, there's no commitment to one another, no commitment to the local body of believers, no commitment to the church, no commitment to fellow believers. They never think about praying for a fellow believer. No, no, no. That's not walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means that you care for others. Walking in the Spirit means that the church family is important to you. You want to see them edified and grow in the Lord. And this is what we're speaking about today. This is what we're speaking about, walking in line with the Lord, in the Spirit, with the Spirit. You see, there mustn't be a separation between what we claim to possess, between who we claim to be, and the way we order our daily steps. The way we walk. Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So at this point, we need to ask ourselves some soul-searching questions. Well, the obvious question will be, do I walk in the Spirit? Is my life pleasing to the Lord? Do I even know what that means, to walk in the Spirit? What place has the Spirit got in my life? Do I give place to the Holy Spirit in my life? Do I know what His offices are? What His ministry is? Do I know the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit? Do I have fellowship with His power? These are soul-searching questions. They must be questions that we must ask ourselves. If we truly love the Lord, I believe we will be asking the Lord these questions. And not only the Lord, ourselves, these questions. So this subject of the Holy Spirit is so important. So important for many reasons. So we're not going to cover everything. We're going to just touch on some of these truths. And I believe by the Spirit of God, maybe one of them will be something you need that you can apply to your life and cause you to grow. So first of all, no person, to gain a deeper understanding, a richer understanding, we need to understand that no person can be saved. No person can be born again without the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, if any man, the scripture that we are basing this upon, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Romans 8 and verse 9. So this is the initial work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to the point that we see our sinfulness, that we see that we need salvation, to see that we have been adopted as God's very own children, and that we cry, Abba, Father, my Father. So the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He brings that assurance that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we know that we dwell in Him because He has given us His Spirit. And His Spirit is a spirit of love. And it is the evidence that we are born again, that we love one another, that we love the brethren, that we love the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. Now, this is the evidence, the initial evidence. We go on to being a Christian, to live the Christian life in this fallen world is not easy. Actually, to live the Christian life in this world goes against everything that this world speaks about and offers. And if you live, the more right you live, the more holy, the more godly you are, the more the world looks at you as though something is wrong. And it goes against what the world loves and values. And to walk the Christian life takes great strength. Now, where does this strength come from? How can we be strong enough to go against the tide, to go against the flow of the river? And Ephesians 3 and verse 16 tells us where the strength comes from. We are strengthened with the power of His Spirit. Strengthened with the power of His Spirit, where in the inner man, He gives us the resolve. He gives us the desire. He works in us, creating the will to do, the desire to do, the strength to do. The one who walks in the Spirit is strengthened by God. And this strengthening is to resist the flesh. It's to resist all the desires of the flesh. It is to stand against the world and against the devil and against sin. So this brings us to the next point and ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is one that most people don't like or don't speak about much. But the Holy Spirit in our lives means the mortification or the putting to death of sin in our lives. And if we have any desire to overcome sin, we must understand that the only way we are going to succeed is by the work of the Holy Spirit and our relationship with Him. Paul makes it very clear in Romans 8 and verse 13. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. You shall live. And we can't defeat the enemy. We can't defeat even the smallest lust within our own effort. We can't defeat it with our own willpower. We can't defeat it with self-discipline or good intentions. The power to put besetting sins to death, or as the old writers used to say, those darling sins, those sins we love so much, to put those sins to death, it takes the power of the Spirit of God to fight against them. To fight against them. And a careless and a distant attitude towards this ministry of the Holy Spirit will always lead to a weak and a defeated believer who's always stumbling, who's always grieving the Spirit. But where there is a dependence upon the Spirit, there will be growth, there will be strength, there will be spiritual life. So the Spirit of God will help us to deal with those things that we know are shameful, those things that we know don't bring honor to God, those things that we maybe have tried to get rid of in our own willpower and determination. But it takes the Spirit of God working in us, helping us. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not just to save us, not just to strengthen us, not just to put sin to death. It is to bring us into Christ-likeness, into Christ-likeness. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 tells us of the fruit of the Spirit: love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And really, that's the best description of Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness is to have those fruits in your life. Think of all the examples of our Savior as we read through the pages of Scripture. Jesus Christ, filled with compassion. That's what it means. Filled with love, filled with mercy, filled with faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit is perfectly displayed in the walk of our Savior. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also display the fruit of the Spirit. But how? How are these precious fruits produced in us? It's not by our own effort. It's not by our ability. It's not by just imitating them. It is through the operation of the Holy Spirit that these fruits are born. He works in us. He equips us to do His work. And we see even the Holy Spirit in Old Testament times. Think of the old prophet in Micah's day. Micah was given a difficult ministry, an impossible ministry, very hard calling. He was sent to a sinful and a rebellious people, a resistant people that would not listen to him. And how did he manage to preach to them? How did he manage to stay faithful? And he explains, Micah himself explains how he was able to do this work and to stay faithful. And he says this in Micah 3:8, truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. We can only do what God's called us to do when we are truly full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. He didn't stand in his own strength. He didn't depend upon his own courage. He didn't depend upon his own personality. He was empowered by the Spirit of God. And that's how he was able to call these people to repentance. Also the Apostle Paul, he didn't work in his own strength, but by the power of the Spirit. His preaching relied not on persuasive human words, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. I tell you, when the Apostle Paul preached, people's hearts were pricked. There was a demonstration of the power of God. Hearts were melted. Hearts were stirred. And this is what we need in our witnessing, in our sharing. Oh, I don't have eloquent words, but you are working with me, Lord. Melt their hearts. Touch their hearts. Show them their need. And Paul, the apostle, he clearly gives the glory to God. He clearly shows the source of his effectiveness. In Colossians 1:29, we see this. He says, to this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. His working, he works in me mightily. So Paul the apostle walked in the Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. Now let me just say something. Many Christians say, oh yes, yeah, I want to walk in the Spirit. Well, it involves labor. Labor. And this word labor, it's not just the ordinary word. Paul the apostle labored. That means he worked to the point of being weary. It was hard labor. It was the toilsome work to the point of being wearied. And he did this with such zeal, striving as though he was competing to win a crown in maybe an athletic championships or something. It indicates the most strenuous and self-denying effort. And that's what it means to labor for the Lord. So how was Paul willing to give his all, to be exhausted, to spend and be spent for the Lord? What made him to do this? What compelled him? Of course it was the love of the Lord in him. Love compelled him. But it was according to the working of God's power in him that enabled him to do this. And we need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to give us that self-sacrificial service, that zeal. Lord, I'm willing to do it, even although I'm tired. I will go the extra mile. I will run and not be weary. Passion and resolve is caused by the Holy Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, no service is too costly. Nothing is too much work. Nothing is too much difficulty. Love compels us. So this is just some. This is just a taste of the mighty work, the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may have this depth in our life. Let us walk in the Spirit under his influence, according to his rule. And when we walk in the Spirit, it's not just once a week. It's continuous. It's every day. Every day walking with the Spirit. It means continuous walking, and the obvious thing is it means walking by the Word of God. And the Word of God must be the rule in my life. I must be totally surrendered and decided in my life. This is God's Word. I will obey it. I will do it. I treasure it. I value it. I gladly yield and surrender to it. That's all it means to walk in the Spirit. Not question it, not fight against it, not excuse yourself, but to do what His Word says. And yes, of course, you say, well, I have a job. I have a work to do. I have a family to care for. I have duties. I have responsibilities. But what about your spare time? Spare time is very precious, very valuable. What do you do with your spare time? Do you give some of it to God's service? Do you gladly give it to God's service? Do you sacrifice it all for God's service? Oh, the more you love Him, the more time you will give Him. Do I read the Scripture every day, meaningfully? I'm too busy. I can't find time. No, I will find time to meaningfully open my Bible and read. And how do you read it? When you open it, how do you read it? Do you just do it to get it over with so that you can say, I've done my duty today? No, not at all. We look at the Scripture. We look, is there a doctrine? Is there a teaching that I need to apply to my life? Is there something about one of the attributes of God's life, God's character, that's lacking in my life that I need? Do I see something of how God works, how God does His work? Do I see His character? Do I see before me a foundational truth? Do I have a view of Christ in this passage? You know, it was said of Spurgeon that he could take any passage in the Bible, and after reading one or two or three words, he could find Christ in the passage. And we ought to see Christ in the Scriptures. And when we do, it's such a blessing. And another thing, we need to read the Bible and ask ourselves, is there a promise that I need? Is there a promise that I maybe need to write out and stick on my fridge or my mirror so that I can encourage myself that the Lord is watching over me, that He will not fail me? When we keep the Word of God before us and we study the Word like this with diligence and value it, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. You see, you cannot walk in the Spirit and ignore God's Word. The more diligence you give to God's Word, the more you will walk in the Spirit. Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And we live in a dark world. We need a light. We need a lamp. We give importance. We value God's Word as highly important in our lives. And by holding to God's Word, we are able to walk in the Spirit, holding fast to God's Word. The walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, well, the obvious is it's a call to holiness, a call to holiness, a life shaped by obedience. Well, we can't be obedient if we've neglected the Word, can we? We have to value the Word. To walk in obedience simply means I long to please God. I long to bring honor to God. My heart is, I'm not doing it to earn God's favor. I'm doing it because I love Him. I want to please Him. I long to please him. He's given me so much. That's just the least I can do. Oh, he has poured grace upon me, grace upon grace. And therefore, I strive for holiness. I strive for holiness. You know, the book of Romans 6 and verse 12, it says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Sin ought not to be obeyed. Sin is not my king. Jesus Christ is my king and my Lord. I want to obey him, not the lusts of the flesh. Sin is not to be obeyed. The Lord is to be obeyed. I yield to him. I don't yield my members to sin. I yield my members to him. I love righteousness and I hate wickedness. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in righteousness. Walking in the Spirit means striving for holiness. So the Holy Spirit is the one who works in us, who makes us fit for heaven. He makes us partakers of his divine nature by the indwelling Holy Ghost by which he has given us great and exceeding promises. So as we hold on to these promises, he works in us and he makes us partakers, partakers of his divine nature. It is through him that we escape the corruption that's in this world. It's the Holy Spirit's work in us, who works in us to take away the love of sin. If you love sin, you're not walking in the Spirit. If you hate sin, you're walking in the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is alive in us, he implants into us a desire to walk in holiness, to walk in truth. So God is the one who wrought and designed salvation. His Son accomplished it and paid the price for it. And the Holy Spirit helps us to apply this salvation and make it real in our lives. Whenever a Christian is walking in the Spirit, they are lively in faith and lively in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have a lively love for one another. So, we are out of time already, but when we are walking in the Spirit, this is an important one. There's a strong desire and there's an urgency to make Christ known, to witness to others. The one who walks in the Spirit prays for opportunities to witness. It's important to him. Lord, open a door for me to witness. You see, the one who walks in the Spirit not only prays for an opportunity, but prepares in faith that when the door opens, he's ready to speak, ready to share, ready to give this part of his testimony or that part of his testimony, or ready to quote that scripture or this scripture. The one walking in the Spirit, he longs for opportunities. Oh, he lives for those opportunities. Let me give you one more point or a couple more. The one who walks in the Spirit commits all their way to the Lord. They consider, they ask themselves, is this right? Is this what I want? Is it right? Is it profitable? Does it bring glory to my Father? Is my life all for Christ Jesus? Am I serving the Lord with all of my heart? And let me tell you one thing. When we stand one day before the Lord Jesus Christ, will we regret and say, oh Lord, I wish I could have done more for you. I wished I could have given you more time. I wished I could have spoken more for you. No, I don't want to be like that. And on the other hand, nobody will ever receive a rebuke from the Lord saying, you spoke too much, you were too zealous. No, they will only hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. I don't want to have regrets at the end of my life, or if I were to get sick and confined to bed. I want to take and walk in the Spirit now, while I have strength. I want to commit everything. The one who commits, who walks in the Spirit, commits everything to the Lord and sacrifices their time, their resources. They can never do too much. In closing, walking with the Spirit implies walking with others. Am I walking in line with others? I'm not alone in my walk. There are others with me. I must keep in line with them. I must keep in fellowship with others. Is my church family important to me? Do I have a church family? Do I love the brethren? Do I pray for the brethren? Do I encourage others? Are we together? In line, advancing, walking according to the ways of the Spirit. It's not only preaching that sanctifies people and builds them up. It's also iron sharpening iron. Am I in the fellowship? Do I contribute? Do I bring encouragement to others? Does my lifestyle provide a pattern that others would like to follow? Do we, through the service that we engage in, do we sharpen one another? Do we edify one another? Do we build one another up? This is what it means to walk in the Spirit, to be committed to one another, committed to building one another up, praying for one another. Oh, they say, I'm not like that. I just come to church and I go home I don't want that. I don't want that. Well, you can't treat God like that. You can't. Walking in the Spirit is not selective. You can't say, I want this truth but not that truth. You can't say, I want to enjoy worshiping, but don't ask me to pray for others. No, 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 no. I'm just here to enjoy the songs. No, we walk in the Spirit and we take all the truths, embrace all the truths, and we forsake not the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some is. We long to fellowship with one another. We long to build one another up. We long to encourage one another. If we're walking in the Spirit, in closing, these foundational truths and marks, and not only these, but many more will be present in our life. And these foundational marks, I'll read them to you very briefly. Repentance towards God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, holiness of heart and life, habits of real and private prayer, love and reverence towards God's word. These are proofs of the indwelling Spirit. These are proofs that the Holy Spirit is living in a man's soul. Are these marks seen in my life? No marks, then the Spirit is lacking. How thankful I am that He made me His own child, adopted me into His family. My heart was so empty. He filled my heart with purpose and peace and a reason to live. And perhaps amongst us today, there's one who doesn't have these things, one who is lost, one who is empty, one who is not the Lord's. Oh, come to Him today. Come to Him this very moment. He longs to be gracious to you. He will reject none that come to Him. He will receive him who comes in faith. He will make you a son of the Most High God. In closing, are you born again? Are you going to heaven? Are you adopted into the royal family of the King of Kings? Do you desire to be part of this family? As we are singing this final hymn together, as we are worshiping him, make this your prayer and make this your cry. Hymn number 322, Spirit of Faith, come down. May the Spirit of Faith cause you today to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Amen and amen.